Thank you. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We spent some extra time preparing to pray and then praying this morning, and so I'm a little bit behind. I will warn you ahead of time. I am going to go a little bit over time. Normally I do not, but today I am. If you have to leave, just keep it in mind. No, I will understand. We will go just a little bit over time. I don't want to take away from the preaching of the word, but I don't view anything else we've done as preliminaries. All of this has a ministry, and we need to give time to God himself, talking to him at the beginning of our services. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man?" She was not yet married. The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. You know, that same angel had visited just in the one page back in my Bible, visited Zacharias and gave him the news that John was going to be born. And Zacharias said, "Now, how's that going to be?" His attitude was different. And so the angel said, "Now, because you're not believing me, you're not going to speak until he's born." Her response to the angel is different. "Lord, here I am. Here's your handmaiden. I'll do your will." God blesses her for that. Angels in the scripture and how they have such a direct ministry with our Lord Jesus Christ is an interesting study. And as we approach this Christmas season again, I want to talk to you a little bit about these angels because, well, I don't think that the world out there really believes what the Bible says. And I don't think that even true believers have a strong sense that that really happened. Oh, I know we say it did and we believe, but there's something about it that's sort of ethereal and out there, and it's kind of nice, and it's, you know, and we've watched, James Stewart a bunch of times, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, and there with Donna Reed and all that sort of thing. And he's got this funny little guy, Clarence, you know, the angel. And it's sort of like a fairy tale, sort of a, you know, and it doesn't really come to us as something that really happened in history. Biblical Christianity is an incarnate thing. That is, God came and lived in space and time. And our faith is based upon something that has historical reality to it. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just something that somebody dreamed up. No, we have the Gospels that teach what happened in those days. And so it's very important for us to not approach the Christmas season and the angels or whatever with sort of a Snow White idea. We need to understand that these, you know, this is not just a fairy tale. The Apostle Peter talked about it. We haven't followed cunningly devised fables. This is not just a story. It's not a fairy tale. This stuff really happened. There was a Mary, a teenage girl, and an angel did come to her, and he spoke to her, and God worked a miracle in her life and in her body, and she conceived and without knowing a man. That happened. And God used angels to announce it because it was so unusual, more than unusual. It was unique. A proper understanding in our minds of who these angels are can give us a real sense of worship and awe as we consider these stories about Christmas that are indeed historical events that took place. Angels. Angels were present with God when He created the world, but they did not coexist with God before He created. The angels are created beings. They're not eternal. They've not always been there. They're mere beings who were brought into existence by God. Only the Lord Himself is from everlasting to everlasting, not angels. But the Scripture speaks of the angels singing at creation, and so they must have been there to see what took place. So even though they didn't coexist with God in eternity past, they will exist with God all eternity future. Their purpose was to glorify God and to serve Him. They're stronger and more powerful. They're mighty, but they're not omnipotent. They are wiser and more intelligent than men, but they're not omniscient. They don't know everything. They are swifter in their movement than we are, but they're not omnipresent. They can only be in one place at a time. They are awe-inspiring, but they do not accept worship. That would be idolatry. They're not a race of beings. They don't procreate. There's not mama angel, daddy angel, and then three or four little angels, and on the back of their station wagon, there's that little thing, you know, mom. No, that's not the way angels are. They're created beings, and they don't procreate. They are invisible spirits, though sometimes they take the form of human beings. The Bible calls them angels, it calls them sons of God, sometimes calls them holy ones, calls them the host. There's a countless number according to Hebrews chapter 12. There are ranks of angels. We don't know a whole lot about that, but Michael, the archangel, Michael, who means like God, he is the defender of Israel. He's the one that argued with the devil about the body of Moses. I'd like to have heard that argument, what that was about. Perhaps the devil wanted to get the body of Moses and have it worshipped somehow. And so Michael took care of that quickly. And then there's Gabriel. Gabriel, he's the one that explains 70 weeks of Israel in Daniel 9. Talks to Daniel and talks about the succession of the kingdoms of the world, Medo-Persian and the Greek and so on. So these angels, they are real beings that have always been with God from the time that they were created. They serve Him. They worship Him. They are mighty beings. There's a couple of orders of them, you might say. The cherubim, the high order of class of angels. They're beautiful, they are powerful, they announce God's sovereignty, they announce God's holiness. They were the ones that kept Adam and Eve from the garden. They said, no, you can't come in anymore because you sinned. And yet they're the same ones that are pictured above the ark in the Holy of Holies, signifying the way God wants you to come back in. These mighty beings. Then there's the seraphim, they're called the burning ones. They surround the throne of God, proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy." These beings are what came to Joseph. These beings are the ones who came to Mary. One of these, angelic messengers. These are the ones that came to the shepherds. Wow. Angel of the Lord came upon them. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They're just some shepherds out in the field. They're watching their flocks. They're doing what shepherds do. Wow. Verse 10, the angel says unto them, "Fear not, but I behold, I bring you great tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people." Man, it'd be nice to be an angel, wouldn't it? You go around and give people good news. You know, sometimes you get a bad response, like in Zechariah's case, but he got over it, you know. And they talk about, yes, he will be born among you. Yes, he will be the son. He is the son of David. All of these things. And you'll find him over in Bethlehem. He'll be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Not going to be any halo around him. There's no halo around Mary. There's no halo around Jesus. He's wrapped up in some blankets like a little burrito. That's about what it amounts to. That's what they say in the hospital. They wrap up baby, you know, when they bring him in for something or other, they wrap him up like a little burrito. He's going to be there. You'll find him there. And so the shepherds come. Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, and so on. You see, these angels that come to worship, these shepherds that come to worship have been informed by these angels. And who are these angels? These angels have been in heaven with the Son of God, who has now become a man. So they know him pre-incarnate. Now they're watching him being born into this world. Let's get their point of view on this. So now God the Son becomes a man. And they worship. Jesus is born. A year or two goes by and some magi come along. "We three kings of Orient are," and all that. The Bible doesn't say they were kings, and the Bible doesn't say there were three of them. We don't know anything about that. But anyway, they came, and by that time Jesus was a couple of years old. They went to the house. Herod, the wicked ruler, the Assad of that day, wanted to kill all the babies 2 years and younger so that this king of Israel would certainly be wiped out. An angel comes to Joseph in a dream. Joseph gets the angels by dreams for some reason. That's interesting. Other people get them different ways, but you need Joseph, get Mary and Jesus out of town, get down to Egypt. I'll let you know when it's time to come back. When Herod dies, angel meets him again. See, what's happening here? The angels who knew the Son of God, not yet named Jesus, in eternity past, with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, these angels who knew the Son are protecting him, ministering spirits, just like they are to us. So now in this passage, even these angels are concerned about this Son of God. All through his life, Jesus was ministered to by angels. Matthew chapter 4, you don't need to turn to it. The devil comes to Jesus to tempt him. You know, Jesus hasn't eaten for 40 days. He's fasted. And the devil says, you can do miracles. Make this bread, turn this bread into stone into bread. No, not going to do that. Man shall not live by bread alone. And he says, you know, well, go up to the pinnacle of the temple and jump off, because the angels, I mean, after all, haven't they been looking out for you? The angels will take care of you. Don't be tempting the Lord your God. That's right. Then he says, listen, just worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. That was a terrible trial for our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of that trial, it says angels came to minister to him. And the word minister there is talking about like a servant. They probably brought him some food. Angels ministered to him in that time of weakness and hunger. And then in his last hours of before going to the cross at Gethsemane, Jesus has been betrayed by Judas. And he sweats great drops of blood, saying, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The Holy Son of God is shrinking from the judgment of God because he knows that the sin of the world is going to be put upon him. And he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And the Bible says that during that time, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Think about that angel. That angel worshiped the Son of God, pre-incarnate. And now he sees him in Gethsemane weeping. And he comes to minister to him and strengthens him. And then Jesus hangs on the cross. No angels. No angels come. He told somebody earlier, "Listen, if I wanted to, I could have a legion of angels come." And like the fellow that wrote the hymn, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. Why? These angels that from their very creation, who instantly worshiped the Son of God, who superintended his whole life and ministered to him, draw back because they know in the plan of God something else is going on, and they don't come to rescue him even though he could have called them and they would have obeyed him. No angels at the cross. 3 days later, though, there's some angels. They announce his resurrection. "He's not here, he's risen." Yes. And then they announce his coming in Acts chapter 1 because Jesus ascends and the angels say, "You know, just the way you saw him go, you're going to see him come back." All the way through the scriptures. And the Bible tells us when Jesus comes back to earth again, he will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon wicked people. They will be part of God's judgment. He will use them in some way. And then in eternity future, they will still be praising this Jesus, the Son of God, the one that our world rejects. And yet these mighty beings worship him and minister to him. Folks, what I'm saying here is simply this. As we approach and we're in this Christmas season, let's not just think of all of these things that happen as sort of airy-fairy things that, well, that's nice and that's sweet. No, that is history. It happened. Those beings are real and they ministered to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in heaven they are worshiping him. But they don't have the same song that you and I have. They can't sing about redemption because they've not been redeemed. We can sing about redemption. We have more to sing about than they do. And one day we'll see him in all of his glory and we will have their song because we will see him as they see him, but we'll have our song as well. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Folks, listen to me. That's what this is about. That's why we capitalize on this Christmas season and encourage you to try to put tools in your hand so that you can minister to other people. It's not just have a nice holiday, Merry Christmas, bump on you, baby. No. No, no. We proclaim truth, eternal truth, born in the mind of God in eternity past. And we have the message. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Let's, with confidence and boldness, even if we're afraid, let's talk about our great Jesus, the Son of God. And let's not just depend upon programs in this church. Let's depend upon God as He uses us as individuals to reach out to other people. Let's take our hymn books. I want us to go back to the song that we sang at the start, number 86. Perhaps we can sing it now, even with more meaning than we did before. Number 86. Thou whom seraphs joy in praising, whom angel hosts adore, how could my tongue be silent? I've got more to sing about. And because I've got something to sing about, I've got something to talk about out in that world. Will you be a proclaimer of the gospel this season? Let's sing this song, my song.